1, 2, 3. Good morning. That's better. Good to be with you this morning. If you would, in your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 43 and Isaiah chapter 9. Yes, I did. Isaiah 43, and along with that, Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah 43, verse number 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Then you go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. I know you probably have never heard this verse recently, right? Isaiah 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this morning we have to come together and to study your word. As we continue our study this morning on the deity of Jesus Christ, may we, as we study your word, come to a full appreciation and understanding of the doctrine that you're showing to us through your word. And then may we go out and use these bodies as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And if we do that, may it bring honor and glory to your name and no honor and glory to us. Through Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Continuing a study we began a few weeks back, looking at the deity of Jesus Christ. We'll try to go over what we've gone over quickly as of this point, because if possible, we may conclude this study today. But knowing me and how long-winded I am, it might go on another 5 weeks. Who knows? But at any rate, what inspired this study was I was driving in the vehicle, going down a road, minding my own little business, when this flipped onto this channel, and I, as I had mentioned before, I don't know if this guy was Jewish, agnostic, atheist, whatever, but it was certainly his mission, because to knock the deity of Jesus Christ, because he said, pretty much word for word, there is no verse in the Bible anywhere that proves to me conclusively that Jesus Christ is God. And naturally that about snapped my neck off, because my head went this way toward the radio and I wanted to reach in through the radio and grab the guy and say, you numbskull, what Bible are you using? And I decided at that time it was time to put together, I had a small one before this, and this was substantially larger, looking at the deity of Jesus Christ. And if we look in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 10, where we began the study this morning, it says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no what? He is a Savior. In this passage in Isaiah chapter number 43, it is pretty conclusive. He calls himself, before me there was no God formed. Is there any other God besides him at all? Absolutely none. And then we can go and look in Isaiah 9 verse number 6 and see who he's referencing here. For verse 6, and unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty what? God. The Everlasting what? The Prince of? Who is this verse talking about? We just celebrated Christmas here not too long ago. Now, I understand some people get all bent out of shape and say, well, Christmas is a pagan holiday. Okay, yeah, it was. But one heck of an opportunity it gives us to witness to those souls, because at that time everybody has this warm fuzzy, for the lack of a better term, where it's like, oh, it's Christmas time. Look at the baby in the manger. Well, for one, he's not a baby anymore. But at the same time, he is God. In verse number 6, a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty, what? Again? God. The everlasting what? He's God. And this is how much God the Father and God the Son are alike. I always use the reference here and picking on Tracy, or maybe it's more picking on Ryan, I don't know. But when you look at the Father, generally speaking, who do you see in that individual? If you look at the Father, you can see the Son. If you look at the Mother, you can see the daughter, right? Not necessarily, but more often than not, let's be honest, when you look and you see the dad, you can see the son or their offspring in them. Now, he concludes quite conclusively in just a couple of verses, pick any one of those two chapters that we look at, and we see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 2. Exodus chapter 20 Matthew chapter 2 would help if I got the Matthew myself, wouldn't it? You ever have one of those days? Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 2. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. And shall not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting to the father iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Here we see that God is to be worshipped. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There is no other God. I am God, the Father says. I am He. I am Lord. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2. Matthew 2, verse number 2. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to do what to him? God gets worshipped. Is Jesus Christ God? Was he being worshipped here? Yes. Verse number 11. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child, he was about 2 years old or so at this time, with Mary his mother, and fell down, and what did they do to him? Here again we see Jesus Christ's worship. Whenever we pray to Jesus Christ, should we worship him? Because he is just as much as the Father is God and as much as the Holy Spirit is God, and these three are, is God. He is God. We'll do this one. We'll just mention some verses here. We'll be here all morning just going over what we've gone over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. Only God is to receive glory. Is Jesus Christ, does he receive glory? The only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ, we'll go to this one because this is important. Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I guess they're all important technically, right? Genesis chapter 1. And John chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created what? Who created the heaven and the earth? God did. With that in mind, go to John chapter 1. In the beginning, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word of God? Jesus Christ. Did the Word of God create everything? According to this passage that we've just looked at, absolutely yes. Without question, without hesitation. You wonder why the world rotates on the axis it does? Because He said so. He created it. He set it upon its axis. Why is the moon where it's at? Because He put it there. That's why. He's the creator of absolutely, positively everything. Everything. Don't go there. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 3. God's the only Savior. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? You can look, and don't go there, but you can. We'll mention Luke chapter 2, Titus chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and 2 Peter chapter 2. Every one of those verses refers to Jesus Christ as Savior. What's a Savior do? I don't ask tough questions. If I ask tough questions, I couldn't answer them. There have been times I've looked at tests when I was in school and went, huh? Only God is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is Savior. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Just a couple more quickly. Isaiah chapter 1. My wife is laughing at me again. No. Oh, we don't need to know that. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 1. You ever had one of those days? Pages are sticking. Isaiah 1, verse number 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as what? Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Who forgives sins, according to this passage here? God does. God has the ability and power. Come now, verse 18 says, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Who forgives sins? God the Father does. Who else forgives sins? Go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse number 2, and behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the man of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be what? Forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and Pharisees, no, that doesn't say that. Behold, certain of the scribes saith within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it be easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go within thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. What did Jesus Christ just do here during his earthly ministry? Here was a man that was sick of the palsy. And he said, Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Did Jesus Christ have the authority and power to forgive sins? And he did. And look what he did to prove who he was. Besides that, he gave a sign, Arise, stand up, pick up thy bed, and go home. And that's exactly what happened. That guy stood up. It wasn't no wavering. He stood up, grabbed his bed, and went home. My Lord told me to go home. I'm going home. We won't go there for time's sake. Job chapter 19 and Romans chapter 3. God is Redeemer. Jesus is what? He's a Redeemer. He's a Redeemer. Now, here's one I don't think we spent time on, and if we did, it won't hurt to go over again. Go to Acts chapter 20. I think that's where we quit before. Acts chapter 20. Let's continue. and see conclusively without question, without hesitation, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this poor soul who says, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ is God. How many verses have we looked at over the period of about 3 weeks? Quite a few. That man, like I said, I don't know if he was Jewish, atheist, agnostic, whatever he was, that poor soul, it's obvious he didn't look into King James, did he? In Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, Acts 20, verse number 28, take heed therefore unto your own selves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own what? Blood. Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God shed his blood for these people here. In Acts chapter 20, when the Apostle Paul is on the scene, the church, a body of Christ, is up and running as of this point, as of Acts chapter 13. And we look and we can see conclusively, again, he's picking out elders here, leaders of the church, to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. God shed his blood. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. Revelation 1, verse number 5. Where we read, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own, what? God shed his blood. Specifically, who shed his blood here? Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ God? Was his blood the pure, satisfied offering, which God the Father looked at and said, that sacrifice I accept. All those blood of bulls and goats, they're nothing. They're nothing. But whose blood mattered here? Christ Jesus. Is Jesus Christ God? Yes. Look, if you would, with me, go to Acts chapter number 2. We're going to spend a little time here. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse number 23. Acts 2, verse number 23. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, hath ye taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Here we see, in this particular passage, that Jesus Christ was sacrificed. Now look at verse number 24. Verse number 24. Jesus Christ died for the sin of all mankind. But guess what else happened here? Acts chapter number 2, verse number 24. Whom God hath done what? Here we can read, just by looking this, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, did he not? God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Acts chapter 3, verse number 15. Acts 3:15. Well, look at verse number 14. Really shouldn't skip that. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath done what? Raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here the apostles come forward, and they discuss about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You guys took the just one, you took the very Son of God, and you hung him on a tree, and you killed him, and you allowed a murderer to be released. A murderer should have been taken and executed, not Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ a murderer? How many sins did he break in his life? Has he ever broken a sin? No. But his blood covers our sin and forever forgives us for all of eternity. If that doesn't take your breath away, I don't know. It is just that amazing. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 10. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the what? What we're looking at here, obviously, as you, I'm sure, have figured out at this time, we're looking at passages in the Scripture which show God the Father raising the Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Did God the Father have the power and authority to raise Jesus from the dead? Yes. Again, I don't ask tough questions. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse number 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God has done what? Raised him from what? The Father raises the Son from the dead. There's a reason why we're doing this, so bear with me. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of who? Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead here? Look at Colossians chapter 2. Too far. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians. Chapter 2 and verse number 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from what? We getting the idea here that God the Father has the power and authority to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at Hebrews chapter number 13. Verse number 20. Hebrews 13, verse number 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant. Now we know the God of peace that hath brought again the dead, our Lord Jesus. Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Again, the Father. Why am I going over all these verses in particular? You want to talk about the authority and power Jesus Christ had? We've discussed Jesus Christ as God, and he brings honor and glory to the Father. Guess what Jesus has the ability of doing? Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 8. Revelation 2, verse number 8. Where we read, and unto the church, or the angel of the church of Samaria write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is what? Now here's the key. Who specifically in this verse is it referencing that was had the power and authority to bring himself back from the dead? Jesus Christ. Now that's power. Suppose suppose my wife would be happy because she would get the death claims for my life insurance policy. That's a joke. Poor joke. Bad joke. Forget I said that. But true. If I fall down dead, could I bring myself back from the dead? No. No. That's factual. Want to talk about getting older? Man, I'll tell you what. One day this week I was in where I work now. Don't know if I'm allowed to say that on air or not. I got down. There was a guy in a wheelchair inside the med van. I got down on my knee, and I got down on my other knee. Then after I got him buckled in, guess what? I had to do what?
He had to get his wheelchair.
I had to kick him out of his chair so I could get his wheelchair. Hey, it worked today. How about that? It took me a few moments to get myself up because I went to, because I was in a corner over here where you were jammed up next to the side door, and you try to pick yourself up, and you can't. Don't get old, because it's no fun. What's that? True. Well, sort of. Jesus Christ, according to this passage, has the power and authority to bring himself back from the dead. Does that prove that he's God? Was he the creator of absolutely everything? We saw verses, plenty of verses in the last few weeks referencing the authority that he had and that he simply said the word and there it was. Man, I can't even make a mud pie right. He created everything. Every single solitary thing. That's pure power. Let me look here 1 second. Oh, by the way, we read over here a short while ago about him being the first and the last. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7. Or 11, excuse me. 7-11 be a good name for a store. Revelation 1:11, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Jesus Christ called himself what? The first and the what? Is God the first and the last? Is Jesus Christ God? Is he the first and the last? Again, I don't ask difficult questions. Revelation chapter 44. Or I'm sorry. There, I got you, didn't I? How about Revelation chapter 22? Just making sure. That's adding to the word, isn't it? And that's a big no-no. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus Christ is what? He has so much power, so much authority, that he can raise himself from the dead. I have a tough enough time putting a Band-Aid on my finger, let alone give myself life. Can you bring me back from the dead? Really, not really. Because when you're lying on the floor and they have something to jump your heart, that's a little electric that you didn't, by the way, create. Who did? Think about it. That's how much power he has. Absolute, incredible power. John chapter 10. What verse did I tell you to go to? Okay, good, because that's what I wanted to say, but I was beginning to think I was coming up with the wrong one. John 10, verse number 17. Or start at 17, please. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it, what? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This is the commandment have I received from my Father. God the Father tells the Son, bring yourself back from the dead. Son says, cool, I'll do that, no problem. What power? What power? Jesus is Emmanuel. If you would with me, go to Isaiah chapter number 7. Again, another passage that we've looked at probably a little bit in the last few weeks. Isaiah chapter 7. And verse number 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Jehovah shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. Thank you. I didn't even have to ask it. You finished it for me before I even had the chance to ask. Good job. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us. According to this passage, is Jesus Christ Emmanuel? Is he God with us? Absolutely, without any problem whatsoever. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Here's fulfillment of that prophecy back in Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which is interpreted as God with us. Is Jesus Christ here, Emmanuel? Is he God with us? Now here, obviously, it's talking about the people of the nation Israel at that time. But is Jesus Christ our Lord? Is Jesus Christ our God? Exodus chapter 3 and John chapter 8. Exodus chapter 3. Verse number 14. And God said unto Moses at the burning bush. You know the story of the burning bush. We usually see this with Charlton Heston and sometime on television during Easter time. And God said unto Moses, I am that I what? And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Is God referred to as the great I am? Here, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Here in Exodus chapter number 3. Where else is this mentioned in the scripture? Would you with me in John chapter number 8? John chapter number 8, where we read, verse number 56, we'll start at. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then saith the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I what? I am what I am. Popeye says that. But you know who said it long before Popeye ever did? Here we can see I am is in reference in Exodus to God, God in that burning bush, personified through Jesus Christ, had the power and authority to say, tell the nation Israel, I am has sent me. I am. Here in John chapter number 8, verse number 28, we see before Abraham was, I am. And in verse 59, it says, and they rejoiced in that day, saying, oh, he's finally here, our Messiah. Doesn't say that, does it? And they took stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Before Abraham was, I am. Nope. I can't see anywhere in that Bible, anywhere that proves conclusively that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, I'm sorry for you, bud. I feel for you. Have no idea who the guy was. I just happened to turn on the station at the right time. Maybe wrong time for him. Anyway. This poor soul, there's going to come a day that he had better confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that Lord and Savior shed his blood for the remission of sins of our past through the forbearance of God. That through that shed blood that he has the power and authority and control because of who he was to resurrect himself from the dead. What power? Just in these few weeks of this study, we've seen over and over and over and over. I don't have time to go over right now. And I think in the past few weeks, I've said enough on this subject anyway. But without question, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my Savior. He is the one who shed that blood so that I would have forgiveness of sins. And I respectfully, Lord, approach you and thank you for that sacrifice. I believe in you. Save me. Give me everlasting life through that blood. And I think I've said enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have this morning to come together and to study your word. We appreciate that sacrifice that, Father, you came up with. Such a perfect plan. And so have given the opportunity to all for the gift of everlasting life. We recognize what gives us everlasting life, Father, and through whom we have everlasting life. May we go out and be the ministers of reconciliation to the world that we should be, so that they would at least have had the opportunity and chance to hear that message. And as we do that, may that magnify, glorify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for it's through his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time.